Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to another episode of The Wrap-Up, a production of The Balance. Join Tom and $2 Bill Josh as they wrap up the last 24 hours of sports for you. Right now, here's Tom and $2 Bill Josh.
I am Optimus Prime, and I send this message to any surviving Autobots taking refuge among the stars. We are here. We are waiting.
On Blog Talk Radio at 6 o'clock Eastern, and we wrap up everything that's been going on sports in the last 24 hours. We are waiting to hear from our co-host and partner in crime, the man, $2 Bill Josh Elmore. Well, a lot's been going on in sports. A lot's been going on in a lot of different types of things. One of the things that I want to point out to you is the up-and-coming college gridiron show that we've got started coming up this Saturday morning, 9 o'clock, right here on Blog Talk Radio. You can also hear all of our episodes. This is what's so cool. You can hear all of our episodes on iTunes. Just go to iTunes, go to podcasts. It's free. Search The Balance and download us, and you'll find us right there. Again, my name is Tom Marquis, and this is The Balance, and we're in the wrap-up right alongside me, the man, $2 Bill Joshua Elmore. Josh, how are we doing today?
I'm doing pretty good. How are you, Tom?
I am doing fantastic. Just got off the Gary Snyder show, and I want to make this announcement. Gary Snyder is going to be a regular on the College Gridiron. He is a Notre Dame football authority as well as a college football authority as well. And we're really excited about having him on board with us. He's got his own show, Gary Snyder, GarySnyderShow.com. You can find him on Facebook, and we'll have him linked on our website and on our Facebook page as well. Well, baseball fans, Josh, it was a historical night in baseball, was it not?
It was a historical night. Jim Thome hit two opposite field home runs to get to the magical number of 600, and he's done it with supposedly. He's never been linked to steroids, but I don't know about you, Tom. I got a question. Anybody who played in the 90s and the 2000s, I don't know if I buy any of these guys' numbers are truly without steroids.
Well, you know, and I'm going to take a different road on this. Here's my thing. I'm a firm believer, Josh, that you are innocent until proven guilty. And I tell you what, not one single time, not in any book, not in any congressional hearing, not in any news article, not in any, not even a whiff, have you heard of Jim Thome of Jim Thome taking steroids. I think he's a good boy. He's a good old-fashioned baseball player. And I'm going to say, Josh, that no, I don't think that he ever has taken any steroids at all. I mean, he's an icon. I mean, I tell you what, Josh, only Babe Ruth needed fewer at-bats to reach 600 homers than Jim Thome. So it was a great accomplishment up there in Detroit. Of course, Jim's now wearing a Minnesota Twin outfit uniform. So yeah, it was great for him to see. It was a milestone. Only a handful of people have ever done it, and he's been in baseball. You know, he was spending a dozen years with the Tribe, and he's one of the strongest men I think to have ever, maybe next to Babe Ruth, to ever have swung a baseball bat. Those of you that know me and follow me and follow the balance know that we follow baseball pretty closely here, and baseball is one of my biggest sports. So my hat's off to Jim Thome. I think that you know, he's done nothing to me, nothing to prove to me. There's not ever been any type of anything that says, hey, you know, Jim Tomey's been involved in any type of steroids. So I think he's a good guy and a great baseball player, Josh.
I would have to agree. He's certainly a great guy, and it's a great story. We'll see how much farther I guess he can get up the home run with.
Okay. Well, like I said, that happened over in the last 24 hours. Now, Josh, we've got some Colts football that the Colts are getting ready to get ready for. We didn't have a lot of time to really break down Colts football. Obviously, we've got Notre Dame and college football coming up, and we're going to save a lot of that for the college gridiron, unless there's something major that happens during the wrap-up. But we'll talk a lot of college football in the college gridiron thing. But, Josh, we've got the college gridiron that premieres this Saturday, 9 o'clock a.m. Eastern time, right here on Blog Talk Radio. Josh, we've been talking about this since last Saturday. And I know you're biting at the bit, and you're getting things ready, and things are going to be great. Let's talk a little bit about what can we hear here on the balance beginning Saturday morning at 9 a.m. right here on Blog Talk Radio.
Well, we're going to break down the entire top 25. We're going to break down the BCS bowls. We're going to break down the Big Ten title race. We're going to talk about Kevin Wilson. Yet again, so you got to hear my opinion on his behavior last Friday. Saturday, I don't know. Tom's got to hear it. Yet he had to cut out a few minutes early. But we air that segment with the addition of a couple of guests this Saturday morning. I think that's going to be our leadoff story.
Okay, well, we'll see how that plans out. And also, you guys have a short amount of time to get involved in the Balanced Fantasy Football League. If you want to get involved, shoot us a message on Facebook or on our website, comments@thebalanceonline.com, or just shoot us a tweet or whatever, and we will be able to get with you. Now, while you're listening to us right here on Blog Talk Radio, might as well go over there and become a fan, and also become a fan and follower of us on Facebook. We would love to have you on Facebook, and throughout our college gridiron year, we're going to be giving away some different prizes and stuff just for going to our Facebook page and becoming a fan. So those are some exciting things that are going on. All right, Josh, we've got the Redskins coming up in preseason. The Redskins start John Beck. We start Matt Painter. Let's take a look at what's coming up for the Colts and the Redskins.
Tom, did you seriously just say we start Matt Painter? Doesn't he coach basketball at Purdue?
Oh, I did, didn't I? See, my brain's been fried. Josh, you and I both work at the same company in the real world, so you know how my brain can easily get mixed up. I did say Matt Painter. Well, you know, hey, some would argue maybe he's just as good as Curtis Painter. So.
However, there is huge breaking Indianapolis Colts news. There's yet to be confirmed if there's truth to it or not. But on my long drive back home from Richmond, Indiana, I get to listen to a couple of different ESPN channels, a couple of different ESPN sports talk shows. And Chris and Bill Polian have at the very least, contacted Buzz Cook, the agent, for supposedly retired quarterback Brett Favre. That much has been confirmed. Has not been confirmed whether that is regarding a possible coaching role, a possible backup quarterback spot, or just for a chit-chat. But I've heard it on two different ESPN sports talk shows, so I would have to believe that there's some rumor that the Colts have, in fact, reached out to Brett Favre's agent.
Well, I have not heard that, and I apologize because I literally jumped right on the Gary Snyder show right after I walked out of the office today. So I didn't get to hear any of the talk radio shows for that to be confirmed. So if Josh, if you break it as breaking news, we've learned here at The Balance to know that it's breaking news. Well, one of the things that we've talked about, and we talked about it on Saturday morning when Gary Snyder was on the show, and we were talking about TJ Huszmanzadeh coming to Indianapolis. Those type of meetings this time of year don't happen by accident or by coincidence. Now, am I saying that the Colts are going to get Brett Favre in some form or fashion or manner? I don't know. I mean, it's a good story to talk about here on The Balance, and that's what we do. But I don't know, and we'll see how that pans out. I'm really interested more than anything to see, hopefully, here in the very near future, our free agents that we signed, such as Josh Beckman and Marshall Williams, to see how they are going to pan out in the Colts' depth line. And you know, we had some injuries there in 2010. The Colts, we've got the depth at the receiver position. So I'm just wondering at what kind of weapons that we have, Josh, moving forward here into the preseason.
I think we're stacked to pretty much every option. One option we're not going to have is TJ Huszmanzadeh. As it appears, the New England Patriots have once again stuck it in the face of Indianapolis Colts and taken a play that the Colts wanted. And I, for one, am getting a little stinking tired of the New England Patriots signing just about anybody that they might even hear that the Colts might possibly be interested in.
I had not heard that they did sign Huszmanzadeh. Is that what you're saying?
Reports are that all he has left to do is sign on the dotted line and he'll be a Patriot.
Okay. Well, there you go. You know, many times the Patriots are a lot like the Yankees. They go out there and get the players. Now, I think it, and certainly this are things that we'll get into in the Balance Gridiron. But, you know, obviously the first show we're going to dedicate totally to college football. We are going to talk a little bit about fantasy football. We are bringing back the fantasy football huddle. Saturday night is the Balance's fantasy football draft. And the great thing about fantasy football huddle, we're going to have all the guys from the fantasy, the Balanced Fantasy team on the air with us, talk about their decisions, talk about some strategy that we can share with you, the listener, that you can give us a call and really be an active part of Fantasy Football Huddle. So we will have that as part of the Balanced Gridiron that's coming up this Saturday morning beginning at 9 a.m. And some of the things that, and you know, some of the hot issues that we'd like to talk about is, you know, Manning's health. I think that he's going to get back, but is he going to be back to 100%? We've talked about this on this show numerous times, you know, that this could be the beginning of the end of the Peyton Manning era, and, you know, this could be the last contract that Peyton Manning ever renews with the Indianapolis Colts. And my guess is when this contract is over, we'll see him retire and not pull a Brett Favre. But, you know, the thing about it is when you've got quarterbacks like Brett Favre and Peyton Manning, it's very hard for them to just walk away from the game and say, okay, enough's enough. But I think that Peyton is starting to look at that and say, okay, you know, my knee, my neck, just, you know, I don't know that we'll ever get him back to the 100% that he once was. I don't know that he could get us to a Super Bowl this year. So he has to have some weapons. Josh, my question to you is, does Peyton Manning have the weapons that he needs to get the job done for the Colts this year?
I said this when the Colts lost to the Saints in the Super Bowl, and I'm going to say it again. We will never again see Peyton Manning reach the Super Bowl in his career. He was there twice. He won one. Manning has plenty of weapons. He doesn't have the quality of weapons that he once had with Edgerrin James and Marvin Harrison and Reggie Wayne. But he's got enough weapons to at least get into the playoffs and win a game or two. I'm afraid that without some drastic moves, that may be the best we're going to hope for the rest of Manny's time here. I just don't see him having the help or the weapons to get to the Super Bowl. But even if he never gets to the Super Bowl again, he's had a heck of a career.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And to have his entire career right here at Indianapolis is a fantastic achievement in itself and just a proud moment for the Indianapolis Colts. Here's the thing. I think that the Colts need to get some stuff together with their quarterback situation, especially in the preseason. But there again, I don't think that the preseason is designed to look at our quarterback situation. We know who our quarterback is, and we know who our whether you like it or not, we know who our backup quarterback is for number 18. What I want to know is what other teams are out there, and looking at the Colts schedule, what is going to be the toughest part of the schedule, Josh, for the Indianapolis Colts?
Well, I think this year the AFC South is pretty weak. I think it's going to be the Colts and the Texans pretty much dominating, except for the two times they play each other. I think the Patriots are going to be tough. I think the Chiefs will be tough. I think overall we have a pretty tough schedule, and I think with Manning going into the season being injured, a 10-win season would be something to be happy with. A 9-win season is probably more realistic.
No, and I absolutely 100% agree with that. One of the other things that I wanted to talk about that happened in the last 24 hours, because that's what we do here at The Balance. And by the way, guys, on the wrap-up here, we do this every day except for Wednesday at 6 o'clock p.m. right here on Blog Talk Radio. You can download all of our archive shows on iTunes. You can also find us on Facebook. Just search The Balance and find us on Twitter on T-Balance. Now, we've got a very exciting show coming up, but every day we like to give the wrap-up of what's happened in the last 24 hours. And I don't know how many of you guys watched Monday Night Football last night, the Jets and the Texans. It turned out to be a pretty good game in the third quarter, tying up. But one of the things that I we're speaking of quarterback controversies here is the Jets quarterback situation. Josh, did you see that story where I believe it was Sanchez said he wasn't going to leave the huddle?
I did see the game. I didn't see that. I did notice that for maybe a minute or two, I believe the Jets might even had to call a timeout. There was two quarterbacks on the field, although with Rex Ryan being the head coach. They've certainly done it before. Last year they had Sanchez and Brad Smith, who was a receiver slash quarterback, on the field at the same time. So I didn't particularly think anything of it.
Well, I think here's really what I saw about that whole situation is that he showed that it was his team, and he was the quarterback, and he wasn't going to leave the huddle. I think the players loved it. I think the players loved it. I think the fans loved it. I don't know that the coaching staff loved it too much, but, you know, it's always good to sit back and, you know, look at these games after the game and so forth, which is what we give you the opportunity to do here in The Balance. We're so glad that you've joined myself and $2 Bill Josh. And coming up Saturday, beginning Saturday at 9 a.m., is the College Gridiron right here on Blog Talk Radio. Now, some of the things that I think that we need to take away from that Jets-Texans game is I think that the Texans showed a little bit on defense. The switch to the 3-4 still leaves plenty of questions. And so I don't know that Mangold wasn't anchoring New York's line at all. I think number two, I think you'll see that Derek Mason will be a factor. This is a guy that's, in my opinion anyway, a borderline Hall of Famer and classic overachiever, Josh. I think Derek Mason is going to be a guy to contend with, and I think Sanchez likes to connect with him. And I don't think that the Texans had any answers for that. And I think that when looking at the Colts, I think that Derek Mason, when we play the Jets, I think that Derek Mason is going to be a key factor in that in that game. Also, the Texans are, I think they're just running out of running backs. I don't think that they have the depth there to make it happen. The other question you need to ask is, will the Jets ever get vertical? I just think that it's going to be a good season. My other question is, and Josh, maybe you can chime in on this, is Matt Leinart, what are your thoughts? What did you take away from that game? You can add to that list or add to the five factors that I said that we should take away from the Jets-Texan game last night.
Well, Matt Leinart continues to be a bust. He's always been a bust. He always will be a bust as far as being an NFL quarterback goes. I think the Texans, they were without Arian Foster last night, so I'm not going to read too much into that. I think they do have a nice group of backs. I think the Jets have a great defense. They're a little young, but that's what they need to do. We could tell last year by the time they got to the AFC Championship game, their defensive line was tired. They just couldn't get to Ben Roethlisberger. Had they been able to get to Roethlisberger, they would have won that game. As the Jets were the better team that day. I think Rex Ryan continues to be Rex Ryan. Sanchez continues to develop. And I think it's just, I thought Greg McElroy, however you say his last name, actually looked like a pretty decent quarterback. And I would say, Tom, that if the Jets decide not to keep him, they would be the guy for the Colts to go sign to back up Manny.
Well, are you talking, now who are you saying you think would be a good backup to Manny?
I think the guy who backed up Sanchez last night, Greg McElroy, would be an awesome backup here in Indianapolis.
That's a good thought, and we'll see how that pans out. I would be curious myself. The other rumor running around out there, Josh, and you may have heard this rumor as well, in preparing for the college gridiron, but I hear some rumors that Jim Tressel is visiting the Brown camp. What are your thoughts on that, of just going right up the road, leaving Columbus, and then ended up there in the city of Cleveland? Again, nothing happens by mistake or by coincidence in this league. What do you think about Jim Tressel visiting the Browns?
I don't think I'm going to read anything into it. They seem to be content with their first-year head coach, Pat Shurmur. And then they have Mike Holmgren there, so they already have a head coach. They have another guy who's already been a head coach. I think, if anything, it was just Jim Tressel wanted to see what a day in NFL camp was like.
So you don't think that they're possibly looking at bringing Jim Tressel on board?
I don't see where they would bring him on board. You can't hire a guy and fire him after one preseason game. I don't think you could do that with a straight face.
Well, what about bringing him on board as some sort of a consultant or a line coach or something like that?
Possibly, or maybe they just want to bring him on board to sell some sweater vests. I'm not really going to read too much into it, though.
Okay. Well, guys, you know, this is The Balance, and that's what we do here, is we're getting ready for our big kickoff here of The Balance Gridiron, beginning Saturday morning, 9 a.m. Eastern, 9 to 11 Eastern, right here on Blog Talk Radio. You know, and one of the other things that over in the AFC teams that I like this year, and even though they have to play the Colts, and even though we'll see them and get to know them very well, is the Tennessee Titans. And, you know, as we know very well, that the Titans severed ties with their coach and quarterback and set about for a fresh start. They'll have some lost time. They've got a new combo of quarterbacks, of course, Matt Hasselbeck and Jake Locker in the franchise. I don't know if they're going to turn the page. But the new book of the Tennessee Titans is open, and the early chapters might be choppy and rough. But I think when you read the end of the book, I think this is going to be a very good team, Josh.
I would have to agree, but I don't think they're going to be a very good team this year. They're a couple of years away. They do have an NFL Hall of Famer as their head coach, Mike Munchak. He's a Hall of Fame offensive lineman from back way back in the day. back when Tom was a little kid, back in the late 60s, early 70s. I believe that's around the time period he was playing. But I think that he brings a toughness to the team that Jeff Fisher just didn't have. I think the last couple of years, Fisher had been there too long, and he knew it, and he just didn't really care anymore.
Right. Well, my other question about Tennessee, about Tennessee is, will Johnson be around? It's hard to imagine that he's going to be sitting out this season. The flamboyant running back loves the NFL stage. But he's a little underpaid, and he's just not fired up about a compromise that would have him join the team. But a deal's not been reached. So what do you think? Is Chris Johnson done wearing the blue and white?
I think that would be awesome, but it'll never happen, mainly because the Colts aren't going to put up with his attitude problem.
I said blue and white, meaning the Titans. Is he going to be a Titan? I apologize. I should have clarified that.
I do believe he'll be a Tennessee Titan, because how long can a guy realistically sit out when he's getting fined $30,000 a day?
Well, that would be my question. That's a lot of change, even in rich millionaire time. I would have that question as well. Well, bouncing around the NFL, we want to make sure, again, this is the wrap-up, and we want to talk about things that have happened in the last 24 hours. You may or may not have heard that Hall of Famer receiver Pete Fios, who helped the Eagles win two consecutive NFL championships in the 1940s. He died. He was 87 years old. He died at a nursing home in Winston-Salem, North Carolina, after a long battle with Alzheimer's disease. And, you know, Alzheimer's disease, take a moment to talk about that, is a very, very dreadful disease that affects your memory. And, you know, I haven't read the behind-the-scenes stories about this. But, you know, he has an Indiana connection. He was a star at Indiana before going to the NFL. And, you know, a six-time Pro Bowl selection. You got to wonder if when he got in the nursing home and at that age, if he could even remember the contribution that he made to the sport. Josh and I, he was obviously before my time, but we here at The Balance want to make sure that we say, you know, that he'll be greatly missed, and he was one of the great contributors to the NFL. Well, Josh, that's going to do it for The Balance wrap-up here. 60-second timeout. Go for it.
Friday night, the Washington Redskins come to Lucas, play the Indianapolis Colts. And they have two Bloomington South Panthers on their roster. They have quarterback Rex Grossman and quarterback Ben Chappell, who just recently graduated from Indiana University. So if you're not doing anything, go watch the Colts Redskins Friday night.
All right, guys, boys and girls, we'll be back Thursday night, 6 o'clock. We're getting geared up for the Balance Gridiron coming up Saturday morning right here on Blog Talk Radio. Until then, you are wrapped up.